This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Final hour of Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin's alongside Jed Marshall, producing back at the Rally House Studios. We broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today until 2 o'clock, so get out of the freezing cold temps. It's sunny out, which means the building we're in here at the K-State Olathe campus, they have these huge windows in front of us. The sun is beaming in. It feels nice and warm, so you can come in and warm up. You can get some of K-State's famous ice cream. We have gift certificates for Pega's Family Restaurant. Comfort, just a spoonful away. Have some koozies and coasters left. Also register for a chance to win free round of golf at Adams Point out in Blue Springs. So good stuff. Get out here to the open house, K-State Olathe, College Boulevard, east of K-7. We're going to be on until noon. ESPN takes over after that. Then at 1 o'clock, Masters coverage from Westwood One, brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. I was just getting on Twitter to check for any late-breaking news, and it's just frustrating where Twitter has gone. By the way, my address, at Brad K. Porter, my handle, pardon me, your handle, at Brad K. Porter. Frustrating when you get on and log in on a, you know, it's cold, but it's a nice day. Log in, and there's already the negative and the hatred out there, but you can find some good stuff if you look on Twitter. And some of the good stuff you can always find about Chiefs football, you can find from Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, at Jacobs71. Nick, how are you on this rather freezing cold Saturday morning?
I'm somewhere where it's warm, and it sounds like you are too, hopefully. So, I mean, do they at least have some hot chocolate where you're at?
They do, and I've got some hot coffee brewing here, so trying to warm up. Charlie Garland does,
too. That's an open house that gets it. That's an open house that gets it, man, right there.
Yes. All right, Nick, we've joked about this. You and I worked together for several years at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, which, as you noted yesterday on Twitter, is the one-year anniversary that we all got, that a lot of us got word that there was going to be a massive round of layoffs. Not going to get too far into that because we all had to sign a lot of documents and things like that. I don't know what's in all of them. It was like 80 pages worth of stuff, so everybody knows a lot of us got laid off. And as you tweeted out yesterday, sometimes you end up in a better place. And you're at 41 Action News there, and you get to work with Mick Schaefer, sports director, every day, who we work with together also at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports. So good for you. Congratulations. And I'm glad you have that positive outlook that you never know when something bad in your career happens that sometimes you end up somewhere else.
Well, I mean, there's just a lot of life events, whether it's career or, you know, if you lose a family member or something happens, that, you know, I mean, you got to try to find the good in everything. Because like you said, I mean, with social media in some aspects, a lot of people like to put a lot of negativity out there. So, I mean, you flip the script and do the opposite and go from there.
Very well said. Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. And it's afforded me the opportunity to get to know the people at Sports Radio 810 WHB and Union Broadcasting a lot better. I've known all these guys for 20 years, but to get to do some work on the weekends, and I worked all week at the Big 12 basketball tournament, so it's opened some doors and avenues for some other things, and hopefully advancing my career in whatever direction it takes. So, as you said, you never know.
Yeah, you got to trust the process, like they say in the NFL.
Yeah. Trust the process. Speaking of the process, Brett Veach, as general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, will get to oversee his very first draft, and it's only a couple of weeks away here. And I know you have said before that the Super Bowl is not your Christmas. Mm-hmm. The NFL draft is your Christmas. So how excited are you for not only what the Chiefs may do under the leadership of Brett Veach, but the league in general? Do you get excited by the day?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the fact that they're going to be on broadcast this year. I think that's a huge step for the NFL to be over-the-air broadcast, where they're not just on ESPN or NFL Network this year. So the fact they're going to be on that, I think that helps them take another step forward in terms of the exposure and attention, to where maybe some people that have dropped cable They see it over the air now, and they're in the league is willing to reach those people in different ways now with the cord cutters. So I think that's a smart step on their part, and that may draw a little bit more attention. And I think that aspect of it's going to be good. And then on top of it, I mean, there's always going to be stories in the NFL, but I think Dorsey, I got a feeling, is going to make it a lot more interesting than it probably needs to be. And there's a lot of teams that have traded up for quarterbacks that I don't think were worthy of trading up for. But they're going to do it because they're all desperate to turn their franchises around.
Yeah, and I like how you pointed out that the draft will be over the air this year because as a lot of us who worked in the those who work in the cable industry know that that industry has been behind the curve for a long time, and leagues are taking it upon themselves to advance and develop platforms in different avenues to get their product out there. Let's pick it up with the quarterbacks there. You mentioned it. And John Dorsey, former Chiefs general manager, who was fired basically a week after the draft last year. He's got two picks in the top five with the Cleveland Browns now. What do you anticipate from Cleveland and John Dorsey? Will they move off those picks? Can they get the quarterback they want where they are? Do they need to? Can they drop back and still get who you think they should get? How does Cleveland sit right now with these with all these top picks and kind of in the driver's seat?
Well, the first thing about Dorsey is I think a lot of people around the league are curious about what he's going to do since he's kind of his own man in a lot of regards, because I know Joe Banner kind of made the comment, and I think that's kind of been league perception, is that a lot of people feel like it was Andy and John together collaborating more so than now, where it's John's show, and I don't think Hugh Jackson or Todd Haley or anybody's going to be able to kind of tell Dorsey what to do. I think this is going to be Dorsey's thing, and I know a lot of people keep speculating that the Browns are probably going to take Sankey, the running back from Penn State, because he's just the best player on the board. But if John wants to make it work in Cleveland and the way he set things up where Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback, if I'm in his shoes, you got to go take Sam Darnold, because that's the one quarterback that I think you could probably feel the most comfortable with, that's going to be ready and has the proper mechanics and the proper ability to read a defense to where you're not behind the eight ball having to fix them for 2 to 3 years. Because when I looked at Josh Allen from Wyoming, he looks like Brock Osweiler to me. And I wouldn't take that in the first round, let alone the top 10. But there's going to be a team that will. So I think Dorsey's in great position at 1-4 to where he could get Sam Darnold, or he could – I would not be surprised one bit if at some point Dorsey tries to take Baker Mayfield, whether it's 1 or 4, because that just has Dorsey written all over it with Baker Mayfield, because he's got – Mayfield's so much like Johnny Manziel, just he's got a stronger arm than him, but the same athletic ability, the same kind of improvising in that regard. So I could see Dorsey, because I'd kind of heard through the grapevine that Dorsey liked Manziel the year that thing was happening in 2014. The Chiefs took D-Ford. I know I'd heard that Dorsey was a big fan of Manziel, so he's got his chance to get hopefully Manziel part two if that's what he wants. So I think it'll be interesting if they try to go get another pass rusher like Chubb from Georgia, or if they try to just take the best running back in Mayfield, or if they go Darnold in a pass rusher. Beautiful thing for Dorsey is he's got two fantastic options in the top five.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter as we broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K7, open house until 2 o'clock today. We're talking with Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, at Jacobs71, knows everything about the draft. I'm going to pick it up with Johnny Manziel real quick. I don't want to belabor this because he's not in the draft. But Johnny Manziel tweeted out last week, well, Cleveland should have never drafted me because they didn't know that I didn't know how to run a pro offense, and they had a terrible quarterback room and didn't teach me anything. And somebody tweeted back at him, who covers the National Football League. I can't remember if it was a Benjamin Albright or one of those types, but somebody tweeted back at him, dude, none of the scouts or the front office people in Cleveland wanted to draft you. You got drafted because you had the worst owner in pro football, and he demanded that they draft you. That Johnny gets a bad look there because he says, they shouldn't have drafted me because they knew I couldn't play. And then it's, you know, put out there that, well, they never should have drafted you. They didn't want to draft you anyway. This is just ugly all the way around.
Yeah, when I saw Johnny talking on Dean Patrick's show about that, when that got tweeted out, that I knew somebody was going to come back to that with him, because in league circles with some of the agents I talked to, they're saying the owner there, man, he loves Johnny Manziel, and he wants to sell those jerseys, and that he's going to push hard for him, and there's not going to be anybody that can stop him. And I think if you've kind of watched the owner's interviews and press conferences over the years, especially his one with Dorsey, he took a little bit of, I mean, he's the owner at the end of the day, so he can say whatever he wants, but he kind of took over Dorsey's press conference, and he kind of said, yeah, no, we're going to get a quarterback. We're going to get a quarterback. We're going to do this. And I'm like, okay, so then why did you hire this guy to your right over there named John Dorsey? Why don't you let him do that one there, bud? It'll be interesting because I think Dorsey's going to have to deal with that dynamic where he's going to have an owner over top of him that's going to be like, hey, let's take this guy. This guy's got the biggest name, and I heard from one of the people down there in Tennessee that we should take this guy. I think he's going to have to deal with some of that and balance some of that behind the scenes. But yeah, no, I mean that was kind of the rumor going through league circles. There is that. I believe at the time, I want to say it was Ray Farmer, the former Chiefs personnel guy that was the GM there back in 14. Mm-hmm. And before they let go of him and then hired another GM, and then they recently let go of that GM. So they've kind of had a little whirlwind there in the past 4 years. But, yeah, I think Manziel didn't do himself any favors, but unfortunately he didn't do himself a lot of favors in general. And the comments he made just kind of shows that he still hasn't grown up. And I think unless a reputable team like the Patriots is willing to take on a chance on him and rehab him, I don't know the next time he's going to be in the NFL.
All right, we're talking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. NFL draft is coming up. Nick loves to break down tape as we get ahead of the draft. He is a draft nut. All right, you mentioned, I'll one more on the quarterbacks real quick, and then we'll get to the Chiefs. You said Sam Darnold is your favorite right now among the quarterbacks, and Josh Allen shouldn't even be in the first round. And Jeff Rosen from UCLA, there's weird comments coming from Jim Mora Jr., his head coach at UCLA, that make you question his dedication to the game. I'm not sure what Jim Mora is trying to do other than sabotage his draft, but why is Sam Darnold, in your opinion, the top quarterback in the draft, and where should the other quarterbacks slot based on talent?
Well, I would say with Darnold, I think he proved himself in his junior year just because of the way he reads and anticipates and the way he shined in that bowl game 2 years ago. That kind of showed his ceiling and what he's capable of. And I think if teams are looking for ready-made guys, I think Darnold's kind of your best guy coming out. I think he can be your best leader. He's the one you have to work with the least to fix. You have the least amount of bad habits to break that he's been taught over the years that he's been allowed to do. And in the NFL, I mean, it could take you 2 years to break just one bad habit mechanically when there's 12 things that need to be fixed just to keep, you know, just to have the accuracy that you want and help them max out their ability to throw downfield, or how much torque they can put into a throw, or their platform, or where they throw it at, or what angle they throw it at. There's so many things that you have to fix that Darnold, you really don't have to fix as much with him. And I think Darnold's the best of it. And then I think, this doesn't mean that he's worthy of a top five pick, but I think Baker Mayfield right now, athletically, I think he's kind of what some teams want in the NFL with offensive lines struggling the way that they are, to where you need an athletic guy that can move around and buy some time so receivers get open. And then, like you said, Josh Rosen, Jim Mora made his comments about how he gets bored easily and he disengages and he doesn't really pay attention in that regard, the way he stated some of that stuff. From what I see on Rosen, he's just an inaccurate quarterback, and so much of it has to do with mechanics, to where he didn't have what Terry Shea taught me a long time ago is the point arrow. He doesn't have it in the correct direction, and he doesn't really lead his receivers, and he panics in the pocket, and then he tries to roll out, and he either wants to take off or he just wildly throws it, and he's late on some throws. And then, Allen from Wyoming, he's got the size of Brock Osweiler and Phillip Rivers, but he doesn't have Rivers' arm. Otherwise, he would be a top five pick. And I just see a guy that doesn't have a lot of, as our friend Baldy would say, he doesn't have a lot of zip on his fastball. And he's late on some throws, and they would get picked off because of it. And when I watch him, I'm like, this is Brock Osweiler all over again. Like, there's just not a lot of speed in the throw. There's not a lot of accuracy outside the numbers. And I think Darnold's the guy that if you're wanting a sure thing, that's the guy you go with. And then if you're wanting somewhat of a project that's athletic, I think Mayfield's kind of the guy you roll with. And then I think Rosen and Allen, I think they're both just, they're going to be projects that you don't know if they're ever going to develop or not.
All right, we're talking with Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News about the NFL draft. Follow Nick on Twitter at Jacobs71. Always breaking down the video. I am Brad Porter on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, as we broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house here until 2 o'clock today. I'm going to get some of that K-State's famous ice cream in just a little bit. Nick, let's move into Chiefs territory here. Obviously nothing in the first round as of right now. The Chiefs played all their chips last year to get Patrick Mahomes the second.
And that's looking like a great decision right now with the quarterback class that came out this year.
Absolutely. And maybe they looked at those guys that were coming out for 2018 and thought, if we don't get Mahomes now, we're not going to get the guy. So how does this set up the draft? They already went out and got Sammy Watkins to add some speed at receiver, pair him with Tyreek Hill. You got Kareem Hunt, the best young running back in the National Football League right now, or at least one of the top two or three. Where do the Chiefs look to go based on, you know, they're going to be lower in the draft? Is there a particularly deep position that may offer some high impact, immediately available to play kind of talent for the Chiefs?
I would say if you're looking for high impact right now, I think the biggest position where the Chiefs are located at that they could get a player that they could plug in right now, I would say it would be tight end, because there's actually going to be a lot of quality tight ends coming out this year that have the athletic abilities. A couple of them can block. So I think that's kind of – you kind of want to find that heir apparent to Kelce. I know people are saying, well, why are you saying that? I looked this up the other day. Kelce, I can't remember if he is 29 or he's going to turn 29 this year, but he's inching closer to 30. You don't think of that, and you're like, oh, wow, okay. So then, because you know,
he was older when he got drafted.
Yeah, so that aspect. I think tight end's kind of the spot where if I'm them, I'm kind of, if I want somebody that can help out this offense immediately, that's probably the spot to do it, because offensive line wise, I think they're going to add some depth, but I don't think it's going to be anybody that's going to start this year or hopefully have to contribute this year. So I think tight end's kind of the spot if you're looking for somebody now. If they do get a receiver, I think it's going to be a speed guy later on, somewhere that's probably after the fourth or fifth round, around that ballpark. But, I mean, defensive line, I think there's some quality there. And then I think there's going to be some quality at cornerback and safety as well, that I think the Chiefs are probably – I anticipate them valuing pretty well, because I think they know they need to get at least one person at each spot defensively, so they have at least a little bit less in terms of holes to have to deal with down the road here.
All right, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, is our guest talking about the NFL draft and the Chiefs. Final question for you, Nick. With the Chiefs not having a first-round pick, do you anticipate the Chiefs and Brett Veach running his first draft, do you anticipate the Chiefs packaging together some picks either from this year's draft or next year's draft and moving up to get into that first round? Or do you anticipate the Chiefs will sit where they are and let the positions of depth fall to them and get a guy that they can use?
I think Brett Veach has shown, and this is what's so crazy, like you said, this is going to be Brett Veach's first draft. And look how aggressive he's been without having a draft or being involved in that and the trade process of that. So I think if there's a player I think that's in the 32 range that he likes, and I think the package he would have to do, depending the higher they went, if they try to go somewhere between 25 to 18 in that regard, if there was a guy they like, I unfortunately think they're going to have to find a team that has two first-round picks. So at that point, you're potentially looking at the Bills. And then I think they're going to have to package a two next year, which would either be the one they traded for Peters or their own. I personally think they'd have to use the two next year and one of their thirds and one of their fourths this year. And I think they would have to package that if they want to get from 18 to 25. But if they want to get from 25 to 32, I think they may be able to do maybe a two and a four, or maybe a two next year and a three this year. But I think if there's a player that they like and they think can make an impact right now and help them win ball games, I don't think Brett Veach will hesitate one bit to go up there and get that player in the first round.
All right, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Follow him on Twitter, @Jacobs71. A lot of good videos he puts up there, great Chiefs analysis, and he's going to have a lot of stuff heading up to the draft because, for him, this is Christmas, Easter,
Yom Kippur, name it. Any holiday that anybody enjoys.
Any holiday that you can think of. He'll be setting off fireworks like it's the 4th of July. On the night, and Thanksgiving, he'll be dining like it's Thanksgiving and fireworks like it's the 4th of July.
Yes, so. And if the Kansas City Police Department heard this, that is, I will not be doing that. That is not me, it's another guy.
Nick's dad is a police officer, has been for a long time, so he knows which laws to make sure he observes. And I
abide by all laws.
All laws. All right, Nick, hey, enjoy it, and again, it's been just a day past a year that you and I probably had the worst day of our professional careers when our former TV channel said half of you can't work here anymore, and that's fine. It was a business decision. No bitter feelings on my part. I still love everybody who's still there. They're great people. But congratulations on seeing the positives of moving on and enjoying your job at 41 Action News and working with Mick Schaefer and all the good folks over there.
All right, Brad. Have a great day. Take care.
All right, that is Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Follow him again, @Jacobs71. All right, this is Sports Saturday as we're broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7, open house today until 2 o'clock. A lot of fun stuff going on. They got the workshop. You can learn how to make a healthy treat for your pet. Who doesn't want to do that? Willie the Wildcat is out here. We also have gift certificates from Pega's Family Restaurant, free made from scratch lunches here available. K-State's famous ice cream, all kinds of stuff going on. Also, you can register for your chance to win a free round of golf at Adams Point out in Blue Springs. All right, my name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. We'll be back with more Sports Saturday right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'll tell you what, I was driving in this morning, 6:30, whatever time it was, getting ready for Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And this song by Hall & Oates came on, Out of Touch. There's not a Hall & Oates song you could play that would make me upset. I'm going to feel good. There you go, just listen to that. I mean, Daryl Hall has one of the most underrated voices in the history of music. They call it rock and roll pop. Great voice. So it got me in a good mood, and Jed Marshall was nice enough to play it for us today, so... We are broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. The K-State Olathe campus located at College Boulevard east of K-7. Open house today until 2 o'clock. Come by our broadcast location. We got gift certificates to Pega's Family Restaurant. Register for a chance to win a free round of golf at Adams Point in Blue Springs. I think the koozies and coasters might be gone. We give them all away. All right, so everybody came by to get that. We appreciate everybody stopping by to chat with us while we're out here. We're going to take you up till noon, and then ESPN Radio is going to take over, and then at 1 o'clock, coverage of the Masters begins from Westwood One, brought to you by Brokers Gym, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. And I'm just checking the leaderboard right now. Phil Mickelson is not, well, he's at six over right now, but he's towards the bottom. Whereas Tiger is four over, but moving up. So he's brought, got back a couple of strokes over the last couple of holes. He's through eight. The leaders are have not started yet, though. Patrick Reed still at the top at 9-under. Mark Leishman at 7-under. Henrik Stenson at 5-under. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy both at 4-under. Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson at 3-under. Charlie Huffman, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler lead a packed group at 2-under par. All right, we're going to finish up our final half hour here with my good friend, former basketball star at UMKC and Central High School, Mr. Michael Watson. Michael, how are you this morning?
My man, BP, man, I'm wonderful. The sun is shining, you know. That's the best thing about Kansas City right now.
I know. Even on a cold day, if you get a little sunshine, I know you always smile anyway, but you'll smile when you see that sunshine, right?
You already know. We got snow last night. I was like, you know, I hope the sun comes out. And it did, man, so I can't even be mad at the 37 degrees.
Well, Michael, I have to tell you, at Easter brunch a few days ago, we were dining out, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking I recognize the person sitting there at a few tables over, and I know who it is, but I didn't want to bother him. I didn't want to say anything. But like all the people I've known over the years and kids I covered in high school and the basketball ranks, he wanted to say hello to me, and it's Victor Williams, former star at Wyandotte High School, and it played at Oklahoma State. He said from across the restaurant, "Hey, BP, what's up?" Just like you just did. And I walked over and talked to him. And my kids are really into the NCAA basketball tournament. And so my youngest son was over there, and I said, "Hey, do you want to meet somebody who played in the NCAA tournament?" I said, "Yeah." I walked over and talked to Victor, and that was really cool. And Victor was so nice, and to know people that we all grew up. Either you played against a lot of these guys, and all part of the NCAA basketball. It was awesome. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Now, Victor's one of the most stand-up guys in Kansas City. Does a great job of what I love is training the next generation of basketball players. Like you said, I mean, just a phenomenal player at Oklahoma State. One of the toughest defenders I've ever played against in my entire life, bar none, NBA, overseas, college, high school. Just one of the toughest defenders, man. And just like you said, just a great person. I'm glad that your boys got to meet him and talk to him.
The only thing I did not tell him is he and his Oklahoma State Cowboys should have lost to UMKC at Municipal Auditorium in front of 10,000 people.
We got cheated. He knows. He already knows. You didn't have to tell him. He already knows it.
All right, Michael Watson, we're getting ready for the NBA draft, and I know you coach a lot of kids who are getting into the college ranks. You're a big Missouri fan as well. So let's start with the Missouri Tigers. Jonte Porter declared this week he was going to at least explore his options. He's not going to hire an agent, although how his family is not getting advice from his brother Michael Porter Jr.'s agent, I don't know how that works, but Jonte is going to explore his options. I encourage all young players. I think they should. You get a free scouting report from the NBA. But what is your opinion of Jonte in terms of where his game is right now, where it needs to go? Is he better off going to the NBA or playing a little bit in the G League or playing another year at Mizzou and putting on a performance that gets him into a top 10 draft position?
Well, I think, the NBA is all about potential. It's not about the complete player right now coming out of college. And you've seen that with Anthony Davis, Derrick Rose. Guys who are really good, you know, college players, took them a few years to translate to the NBA level. Jonte Porter is one of those kids who has a lot of tools in his bag. I think that's what really intrigues NBA scouts about him. He can step out and knock down, you know, the three-point basket. He's bigger around the basket. He also is a good rebounder and keep the ball alive. One thing that people don't give him a lot of credit for is his athleticism, his ability to run the floor. And so when you have a brother like Michael Porter, who's probably going to be a top three pick, you should step out there and take your chances. Like you said, get your report card on where you are in the NBA. I think what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, you know, one of my good friends is a scout for the Sacramento Kings, is he's a first-round talent, first-round pick for sure. So it depends on how he does in the pre-draft camps and in the workout, but he'll definitely be a first-round, probably top 20 pick. So when you got millions of dollars ahead of you, and you may be the highest you're going to be, you know, you'd be almost silly not to explore those options and take a look at the NBA. I love the fact that they moved the date back to June now so their players can take the opportunity to see where they are and what they need to work on. So I absolutely love that fact. So I think Jonte is taking advantage of that. But I think he'll be gone. I think, you know, like you said, the writing's on the wall. You know, his brother has an agent. So he's getting feedback already. So I think it's just a matter of time. I definitely think he'll be a first-round pick.
All right, we're talking with Michael Watson, former UMKC and Central High School basketball star, about local players going to the NBA draft. So, if you, Michael, put on your look through your scout, your coach's eyes, when you watch Jonte Porter with all the talent he already has, and he's a very underrated passer too. I love his ability to pass the ball. If you're writing a scouting report or if you're giving advice to Jonte, what areas does he most need to improve on to play at the NBA level?
Physicality. That's his biggest thing that he's going to have to improve in the NBA. He has a European kind of player's game a little bit. He likes to play on that wing almost as a four, you know, a swing four. But he's going to have to be physical in the NBA because the swing fours, you know, they can triple it to a five and they battle down low at the power four with the power fours and centers. So I think he's going to have to definitely work on his physicality. He has great touch around the basket. And like you said, he's a phenomenal passer. So defensively, being more physical on the offensive end as well, and not being afraid to, you know, administer contact versus always just taking the contact. But, again, those are some of the things that, you know, you'll get opportunity to learn in the NBA. When you get in practice with those guys and you see how physical they are, either you're going to put up or you're gonna cower down. I don't think he's the type of kid that's going to cower down. I think he definitely has to work on just being more physical around the basket, being more physical on both ends of the floor.
All right, we're talking Michael Watson. Jonte Porter going to explore his options for the NBA draft. Has not hired an agent yet, but Michael Porter Jr., his brother, has an agent. He is gone. You said, Michael, top three pick. Do you stick in that top three? Because I read mock drafts. I don't know how much to invest in what they look at versus what teams look at in terms of need. I've seen them all the way down as low as seven, but just based on pure talent and factoring in the injury that he had this year, where should his talent land him in the draft?
Well, people think that him coming back and playing in the NCAA tournament hurt his draft stock. It's actually the opposite. It actually helped his draft stock. It actually showed players that the progress that he's made from that injury has come along, and it's come along faster than expected. Not that that was going to make him fall out of the top 10, top, you know, like you said, he's seen him as low as seven. Not that it was going to make him fall out of that stock, but it actually re-solidified him as a top talent, you know, along with Bagby from Duke and the kid from Arizona. And so NBA scouts got a chance to see him, got a chance to see him move, got a chance to see him take contact and be able to come back and things like that. So it actually helped him. He won't do a lot of pre-draft workouts with teams per se because he's a top five talent, but he will go in for medicals and, you know, for medical exams and things of that nature with those teams. And that's really all that they're caring about. I mean, Michael Porter is a Ben Simmons, LeBron James hybrid. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it about him. He's a great passer, great shooter, great defender. He's 6'11", long, can handle the ball. So he has that Ben Simmons, LeBron James, Magic Johnson hybrid type of player. And NBA scouts are just salivating over that talent. So to me, as the NBA scouts as well, his stock hasn't fallen at all.
All right, we're broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today until 2 o'clock. A lot of fun things going on out here. You can stop by our location, pick up gift certificates for Pega's Family Restaurant. You can enjoy some of K-State's famous ice cream. Willie the Wildcat is out here. Charlie Carlin is out here. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall's back at the Rally House Studios. We're talking with Michael Watson, former UMKC Central High School basketball star, about the local college kids checking out their options for the NBA draft. All right, so Michael Porter Jr. we know is gone, top five. Jonte Porter is checking out his options. Let's talk about one of the later declarations, Barry Brown of K-State, who had a terrific season this year for the Wildcats. He got to the Elite Eight. He is exploring his options, has not hired an agent. I love his game. I love his court presence. He is a terrible three-point shooter,
right.
But in a league that needs point guards, everybody in the NBA can shoot. Point guards, there's not a lot of those guys. Barry Brown, as it stands with his talent right now, is he ready to go to the NBA? Is he ready to maybe get drafted and sent to the G League? Or should he come back to K-State on a team that's expected to do great things, that's loaded with all the returning starters, and give it another run in Manhattan?
I definitely think he should come back. I don't see anything wrong with him exploring his options and getting his report card in the NBA, seeing what he needs to work on. But I definitely think he's one of the kids that could benefit from returning to school and his draft stock actually rising, showing that he can be consistent knocking down that outside shot. Because though he's a true point guard, even the point guards in today's league have to be able to knock down those wide open 15-footers and 3-point baskets, because the double team is going to come down low. And so they have to be able to knock those down. You have to be able to do that. And so he has to work on that. So I don't think it's a bad thing what he's doing. I think it's great that he's exploring the NBA and seeing what he can do. And you never know. I mean, it only takes one team to believe in you. I think it only takes, one team to say, hey, we want you. We're willing to invest the time in you that it takes. And so if that's the one team that he gets a good look from, then he has to explore that that option. But I definitely think he will benefit from coming back and doing another year.
Dean Wade, also at K-State, has NBA-type talent and qualities that NBA teams desire. But with the injury that he had at the end of the season that kept him out almost the entire tournament except for a few minutes here and there, will he – he has not declared whether or not he's going to explore his opportunities. With that injury, how do you go through that process? How do you go about even showing an NBA team what you have if you can't get out there and work out? Does he have any recourse to explore his options if he can't work out?
Well, he has a big portfolio already of the work that he's done, the body of work that he's put in at K-State, so they know what he can do. It's not like the NFL where an injury will take you out the entire year. The NBA has a long season. And so they know what he can do. They've seen what he can do, and scouts love him. He's a first-round talent. So though he hasn't declared yet, I think he's quietly looking around, seeing if teams were willing to take him in the first round. He has the luxury of also going back and getting better and having his draft stock rise as well. You know, so it's not a lose-lose for him if he comes out decides to come out, because teams will take a chance on it because he's a big man who can spread the floor, who can shoot. He's a good rebounder. And teams love that. And teams, are looking for that size. You can't teach size. And you can't teach somebody who can shoot a jump shot when they're, 6'11". And so with him, I think he'll be great in the NBA, but I also think it'll be great if he came back and got stronger, kind of like Jontay Porter in his physicality, around the rim.
If you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, I am Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today until 2 o'clock. Talking with Michael Watson, former UMKC and Central High School basketball star, talking about the NBA draft. All right, we covered Mizzou, the Porters. We talked about K-State, Barry Brown, and D. Wade. Let's move to Kansas. The latest person to announce they were not coming back is LeGerald Vick. And I think most people would agree that this was not necessarily his choice. Bill Self has a way of letting players know whether or not they're going to have minutes available next season and encourages them to either explore a transfer or declare for the draft. And LeGerald Vick said he's declaring to go professional. Now, we had Matt Wheeler on the show earlier, and he talked about his athletic ability that appeals to the NBA, but he had low numbers this year. To me, at times, he looked like he didn't have a lot of motivation on the floor. I think he's poor defensively, but you're the guy who played the game at the highest level. You know these guys. What kind of talent does LeGerald Vick have, and does it translate to the NBA game, or can he be a guy that builds him into that?
He's an athlete. I mean, that's just what he has going for him. He's a superior athlete, but he's not a superior basketball player, and that's why I think him declaring for the NBA draft versus transferring is a huge mistake. I don't think he's the talent. He has the talent for the NBA. I didn't think that in his first 3 years at KU. And so for him to, like you said, if it's something, writing on the wall, Bill Self is saying, hey, we got these guys coming in. We don't see your playing time improving or getting a lot of minutes. Then he has to consider that. He's also a young father, so he has to take care of his family at the same time. But he's an athlete. So when you're an athlete, you can make up for necessarily lack of talent. You know what I'm saying? And so with him, He can knock out down the outside shot, but can he put the ball on the floor and be a two guard who can translate? But he's only about 6'3", 6'4". He's not 6'5", 6'6". So, you know, he has to be a guy who can run the point and guard the two in the NBA. You know, he's a great defender. He's a great athlete. So that's why I think he may have an opportunity to just turn some heads and maybe be a late second-round pick if he does well in the pre-draft camp. But he'll be one of those guys that if he doesn't make the NBA, he'll go overseas and make a lot of money immediately and then try to get back to the NBA. A lot like Keith Langford did, you know, for KU. Good NBA, you know, a good player, good talent, athletic, you know, but didn't end up going overseas and making millions and millions of dollars playing overseas basketball. That's why she was drilled Vic in this talent level right now.
And I would stress that I talked about this earlier in the show, but Michael, you've been there. You've played overseas. You've played professionally in the Puerto Rican League and with the Puerto Rican national team. And I'm not gonna put your wallet out there on the air, but you've told me how much you can make playing in different places around the world. For these guys that maybe are not ready for the NBA or just not at that level, you can. And you and I both know Quentin Day, former UMKC star, Paseo High School.
Right.
He's been in Europe for 15 years, and these guys make money. They live rent-free. They don't have to buy a car, and they get to travel the world and learn new languages. It's a great life.
Oh, it's a beautiful life. I miss it, to tell you the truth. I wish I was still in Europe playing and traveling. And, you know, it's a beautiful life, playing a game you love, getting paid for it tax-free. So if you're making $250,000 tax-free, you know, in the United States, I mean, in Europe, you know, that's probably, you know, $450,000 in the United States that you would have to make. You know, you're making it in Europe, you're making it tax-free. So you can't beat that, you know, you can't beat the experience, you know, either. So it's not a bad thing.
All right, Michael Watson, one final parting question for you. We knew Devontae Graham and Svi Mykhailiuk are going, but Malik Newman decided, I think he was leaving anyway, but the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA, he was putting up 30 a night in some games. I'm sure he has a very high opinion of where he should go, but realistically, where should Malik Newman expect to get drafted?
Malik Newman will be the highest KU player drafted. Out of the four who are coming out, he will be the highest one drafted. He's the most talented. He's more talented than Devontae Graham. He's a better player. He's a better defender. And he's a better in-the-moment player. That's what the NBA is all about, in the moment. Can you break your player down one-on-one, and can you deliver the goods? Malik Newman can score the basketball. He can run the show. He was Frank Mason this year for KU. Without Newman, KU wouldn't have made it as far as they made it this year. They overachieved as a team. I think we all know that. That's why my hats went off to those guys, because they definitely overachieved. But he will be the top draft out of KU this year, hands down guaranteed, because when he gets into those pre-draft workouts, that one-on-one game, which is the NBA pick-and-roll one-on-one basketball, he will excel at that because that's his game. And so for me, it wasn't a surprise he came out. I think it'll shock more people how high he gets drafted.
All right, good stuff. Michael Watson, former UMKC and Central High School star, does a lot of coaching in the area and still watches a lot of college and NBA basketball, giving us his draft analysis. Michael, stay warm today. The sun is out. I know you're smiling somewhere. Have a good time, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem, BP.
All right, thank you very much. That's our good friend Michael Watson joining us. Kind of break down where the Porter brothers might go in the draft if Jonte decides to go. Barry Brown, Dean Wade, Malik Newman, LeGerald Vick. Lots of good insight right there from Michael Watson. And Michael's played around the world, Europe, Puerto Rico, made some good money. Like I said, not going to put his wallet out there for everybody's business, but you can make a really nice living. If the NBA doesn't work out. Keith Langford's been, 12, 13 years in Europe, made a pile of cash. So appreciate that from Michael. We are broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today until 2 o'clock. You can check out K-State's famous ice cream. We have gift certificates for Pega's Family Restaurant. You can register for a chance to win the free round of golf at Adams Point in Blue Springs. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is here. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. And just rolling through the Twitter here, I'll give you my address one more time, at Brad K. Porter. At last check, I was about 3 or 4 away from 2,000. And not that that's how I measure my life, but 3 or 4 away from 2,000.
Nerd.
Maybe. I'm a nerd. I didn't even notice. I clicked on it by accident the other day because somebody asked, how many followers you got? And I said, I don't know. And I just checked it out, and almost 2,000. So maybe we can close that gap in the next 15 minutes. So on that note, we will take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. I'm Brad Porter. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yes. I love this song because it starts with the Knight Rider theme.
Check it out.
Fantastic. Love it.
Check it out, yo. I'll be the street kid.
This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall back at the Rally House Studios. And we still got some stuff to give away here. Gift certificates for Pegas Family Restaurant. Still a little time to register for a chance to win a free round of golf at Adams Point in Blue Springs. If you come out here to the K-State Olathe Complex, meet Willie the Wildcat. They'll teach you how to make a healthy treat for your pet. Definitely want to check that out. K-State's famous ice cream. And this building and this campus are just gorgeous. I have not been out here before, and it's just fantastic. So get out of the cold, come in here to the K-State Olathe campus and check it out. All right, coming up at noon, ESPN will take over. And then at 1 o'clock, Masters coverage from Westwood One, brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. Just checking the leaderboard right now. The leaders are still have not started their rounds yet, but Phil Mickelson's out. He's one over on the day through 12 holes, so he stands at plus six. Searching for Tiger. He's even par for the day, plus four overall. He's through nine holes, and those are the big names. Coming out later today is your leader, Patrick Reed at nine under, Mark Leishman at seven under, Henrik Stenson at five under, then Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy at four under, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson at 3-under, Charlie Hoffman, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, Robbie Fowler, and Louis Oosthuizen all at 2-under par.
Oh, I just was going to say, I'm looking at the leaderboard here. I think it could be a fun day because Webb Simpson is still at 2-over, and he's at minus 3 for the day. So if Webb Simpson, who's a fine player, is putting up good numbers, it might be a fun afternoon.
Could be. That Saturday's moving day.
Yeah, for sure. Jason Day's getting going. So some of the guys who are a little bit more in contention are getting ready to tee off.
There's a lot of guys who have started Saturday under par that end up plus 9 or plus 10.
John
and other guys going the other direction. All right, Charlie and Jed, the lineup for the Royals is out for today's game against Cleveland.
I suppose you could call that a lineup.
I scratch my head whenever I see these lineups because like I said, Ned Yost may just be saying, all right, we just got to put guys out there. So your lineup for the Royals today, Jay in left, Merrifield in right, Moustakas at third, hitting cleanup at DH, Lucas Duda, Chesler Cuthbert hitting fifth at first base, Ryan Goins at second with Escobar at short, Gordon in center field, Butera catching, and Ian Kennedy on the hill. So I'll ask you guys real quick. We just got a couple of minutes left.
Yes, exactly.
Something is wrong with Jorge Soler. And it's I don't know if something physically is wrong with him, but for him to be on this roster and not playing in right field after Bonifacio gets suspended, there's a problem. Either it's his game, that Yost doesn't trust, that Dayton Moore doesn't trust, or he's dinged up, something we don't know about. Something is wrong with Jorge Soler.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking during the break. Something seems to be wrong with him, obviously, because he's not playing today. But technically, he's the reason for the Royals' one win, so we can't hate on him too much. Right?
Sure we can, Charlie. I think absolutely
that
fine
is the biggest,
to do.
That
I love
is
today's
the biggest
lineup.
Straw.
I love today's lineup because you have no one, with the exception of Alcides Escobar and Drew Butera, playing at their natural position. Literally, right. No one else. They're like, yeah, dude, I don't know.
Well, Moose is at third. Well,
oh, yeah, Moose. I'm sorry. Moose is at third. But they're like, Merrifield, right. Why not? You're playing well. So, yeah, let's move you to right. Absurd.
Right. Remember,
got to get Ryan Goins at bats.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about how Ned obviously likes to experiment with his lineups, and sometimes the most obscure ones work. And I don't know about this one. We'll see what happens. But this,
you don't see this one getting it done, Charlie?
No, I don't. I don't. It's a little out there. So we'll see. But yeah,
there's a saying in the. There's a saying in baseball called the Sunday lineup. Wow, that looks like that's got every bit the look of a Sunday lineup. It's when the guys who haven't
the
had two bats all week. Getaway day. Everybody's tired. Everybody wants to get on the plane and get home, and you just throw darts out. This is the throw you-know-what against the wall.
the getaway day when you have to stay in Cleveland another day and play at noon tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good logic. I did see this from SB Nation real quick. Shohei Ohtani right now has 3 home runs. The Dodgers have 3 home runs. The Rays have 3 home runs. The Tigers have 2 home runs. The Marlins have 2 home runs. And the Royals bring up the rear with 1 lone home run.
Oh boy. 1 home run in 5 games. 2018 Kansas City Royals. Oh, man alive. All right, 1 minute left in the show. Want to say thanks to Jed Marshall handling the show back at the Rally House Studios. Thanks to Charlie Carlin. Rode out here with him today, set up all the gear. We're going to strike it down. Also, thanks to Matt Wheeler from ESPN for joining us, former Royals pitcher Al Fitzmaurice, Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, and Michael Watson, former UMKC and Central High School basketball star. ESPN Radio takes over at noon, and then at 1 o'clock, coverage of the Masters from Westwood One here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. K-State Olathe, the campus open house, still rolling up until 2 o'clock today. Lots of giveaways, so come by and check it out. That is going to do it for us. Jed and I will be back for Sports Sunday tomorrow from 9 to 11 a.m. That's going to do it for us. My name is Brad Porter. You've been listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.